and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led church based in Sydney, Sutherland Shire. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you. And on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
It's great to see you, and it is really good to see that you survived the monsoon yesterday. Now, to all the curly-haired girls out there who are trying to keep their hair straight for carols tonight, may the force be with you. You've chosen the right path, Gay. I'm telling you, I chose the wrong one. So how are you all? It's great to see you, and it is great to have Pastor Brad back from PNG. He didn't mention to you, but he was awarded a certificate from the PNG AOG for 15 years' worth of investing into that nation. And Pastor Ali also was awarded that certificate because she has been pregnant a lot of that time when Pastor Brad's been away, raising young children and praying and interceding while he's been away, investing into that really significant nation in the Pacific. So I think that's amazing. I also wanted to say congratulations to our HSC students. We honestly raise world changers in our church, and we had a number of students with very, very high ATARs, many, many band sixes, which is just a really significant achievement in different subjects. And I know, quite apart from the results, every single one of them, our HSC students, are filled with a sense of destiny that is so characteristic of Horizon Church people, and a real sense of how God is going to use them as they venture out into the world. So we love you, HSC students. It's going to be amazing to see what God does with your lives. And for anyone else who's leaving school this year as well, we just know that God is going to do amazing things through you next year. Tonight we do have carols, and I've got to say, I had my invitations ready to go, and I was a little bit late on the uptake this year. We'd just been quite busy, a little bit tired perhaps, to be really honest with you. But I had all the people I anticipated inviting beat me to the punch. Basically, so impressed and touched by what happened last year that one of our daycare workers that comes, that loves our sons and loves our family, said, "When are we getting our invitations? They normally have arrived by now. We invite them to everything and they're all coming. They've booked Kuriniko noodles beforehand and then they're coming to carols." And then our neighbours who invited last year text us and saying, "We haven't got our invitation under the door yet. What's happening?" And so they're coming. So we've got seven guests and more. And I'll talk more about that today. I want to reiterate what Pastor Karen and both Brad and Karen said today. It's not too late. And if you hear anything today from the Word of God, it's never too late. Now's the time to invite people. And I've got to say, I'm not even offended if God drops people's names onto your heart as I'm preaching the word and you want to drop them a little invitation by text. I will not be offended. If you're on Facebook, that's different. But if you're texting a friend to invite them, by all means, because it's not too late. Last week, we talked about the beginning of Luke and the beginning of a journey of carrying Jesus into the world. And Pastor Brad alluded to the angelic visitation to Mary, and it began with a girl in a village, an unlikely girl, probably in her teens, unwed, and she gets an invitation issued to her by God himself through an angel saying, "Will you carry the Son of God to the world?" And we know, of course, that she asked a question of clarification. How can it be, God? But really at the forefront of her heart and her response to God's invitation to carry was, "You know what, God? I trust you. I will carry him." And I really feel that that story to us this year as a church is an invitation to carry Jesus to the world in a fresh way, to actually be like Mary and to believe that he could use you, believe that sometimes in spite of us. Honestly, I shake my head at myself sometimes and go, "You use me in spite of myself, God," that he could use you to carry the word of the gospel to a lost and dying world. So it's a believe again invitation. And I said it's an invitation to truly carry, because it's a process and there are moments of miracles. And that angelic visitation was a miraculous moment where a woman who was not married conceived miraculously. It was a miraculous moment, an announcement that was anointed. But really what transpired was what looked like a very, very normal 9 months of carrying a baby and all the things that go with that. And so don't be discouraged in the process of carrying if you get a few knockbacks. I've got to say, some people that I invited last year are coming. They didn't come last year, but they're coming this year. And it's because of seeds sown last year. And so I want to encourage you, don't get discouraged in the carrying. And then finally, we need to see like Mary that many are waiting. And sometimes they look like they couldn't care less. And sometimes people look like they're disinterested. But in the depths of their heart, they're waiting for an invitation from you. So don't look with the natural eye. And so together as a church, we said yes to the fresh invitation. And yes, it relates to carols. But church, I've got to say, I was talking to a friend this morning. We were praying over the service and we were saying, it's not just about carols. It begins with carols. It is an opportunity too good to miss. But we are moving into major harvest time in our church because God loves souls. God loves people. And we've got to get really used to the invitation and really used to and excited about believing that he could use us. And so there is an invitation in your hand. And it's not too late, because I know that most of your friends are planning a night in tonight to watch maybe 60 Minutes. Maybe some will have a glass of Chardonnay and pop a Christmas movie on because they're trying to create a sense of Christmas. But you can invite them to the greatest Christmas experience they'll ever have, and they won't need to manufacture it. They'll actually experience Jesus tonight. And it may not be preached at them in a conventional way. They're probably going to feel it as Karen sings Mary, Did You Know, or Fallon sings O Holy Night, or someone ministers in the power of God in the form of a carol, or when our kids sing, it is going to be spectacular. So please, by all means, take a shot of the invitation and text it to your friend while I'm speaking. I am not offended. Now, this morning, I do want to explore something out of the Word of God. And this Christmas story is the story that just keeps giving. Every character in it speaks. And I feel like Pastor Brad pinched my sermon in the introduction, and that's okay. So I do want to explore the first invitation in the New Testament. And firsts in the Bible are very, very telling. They are a window into God's heart on things. So let's have a look at Luke 2, verses 6 to 16. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. It's a daunting prospect, isn't it? And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of God shone around them, and they were terrified. It's just awe-inspiring. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior will be born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Oh, it is incredible. Who can feel the anointing of God as the good news is read? It's just, he just loves the announcement of good news. I'm telling you, I just got to stop in this moment. You can be sure, and I'll talk more about this, you can be sure whenever the good news is preached, the Holy Spirit just flocks to it. When you share the good news of Jesus, there is nothing that the Holy Spirit will anoint more than the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Honestly, there is anointing on it. Even the reading of it, you can sense God around it. It's amazing. And Luke takes us to this moment of the first announcement of Jesus' birth. And in true Luke style, every gospel writer has their style, their thing. And Luke loves to unpack stuff. And he unpacks who gets to give the first invitation. And usually the kind of people that get to give the first invitation or the first announcement or the inauguration of something are leaders. And we are a church that honours the weight of leadership and honours the weight that civic leaders bring to our community. And in fact, there will be, as the others mentioned, amazing civic leaders that we want to honour and give due weight to tonight. And they'll be among us because it's a really important event. And our community recognises that. You've got to understand, our community is sitting up and paying attention to what God is doing in this church. And they'll be here tonight. But on this occasion, it wasn't Caesar or Quirinius or any other civic or national leader who was making this first announcement. But it's common people. It's people that are the working class. It's the every man or the every woman. And it's as if God is saying to us from the get-go of this story that salvation belongs to every person on earth, that salvation is every single human being's right and privilege in God, given to them because they are made in the image of God, and he actually bankrupted heaven to make it happen. But not only that, I want to go further this morning and say that it's as if God is saying, for every believer, it is our God-given inheritance to carry an invitation of Jesus to actually say, you know what? It is not just leaders and people who carry weight and authority in human terms that we love and we honor in this church, but it is the every man and woman that God has put an invitation in your hand, if you know him, to actually invite someone else to be a part of this great story that will transform a human life like nothing else can. And I just want to look at this invitation this morning. Because Luke unpacks it, if I was to term it, I want to look at the art of invitation. What is it about this invitation that is a cue to you and I as everyday people? Very extraordinary people, by the way, exist in this church, but at core, all of us are flesh and blood. And what is it about this invitation that here in 21st century Sydney, we can take from this, and it shows us something about the invitation that God has put in our hand? And the first thought, I just think this story declares that you are to remember your personal encounter. Remember your personal encounter. You know, the shepherds are a very, very telling part of the Christmas story. They are looked down upon by many. Many sources say that their testimony could not be used in a court of law because they were considered untrustworthy people. They were common people. They smelled of sheep and the outdoors. They were earthy. They probably had cracked skin, aged beyond their years by the elements. And literally, by virtue of the role, they are separated from communities for large tracts of time as they cared for and nurtured animals. They're unlikely. But in the place of their serving, in the place of their vocation, in the place of their separation from everybody else, they are found by heaven. They're encountered by heaven, and the angel of the Lord appears to them. But not just that, the glory of God literally lights up the field. Like it is awe-inspiring, so much so that men that are so used to breaking the necks of wolves and dealing with bears freak out in terror. That has got to say something to us about the awesome nature of Almighty God. That a man, that burly guy that is so used to those things would be terrified and had to be consoled by an angel that it's okay, I've got good news for you. And there's an announcement that Jesus' birth is brought to them. And they go and everything that that angel has said proves exactly true. It's a real encounter from heaven. They have encountered God. And I want to say this morning that that encounter with heaven, that encounter with God, is the driving force to these shepherds announcing to everybody who would listen the power of God and the goodness of God in this baby. It is the driving force. They're not concerned with what others think of them. They are consumed men. Once they have seen that baby and the proof of that prophetic word, they are consumed men that will not be put off by what anyone thinks about them. No one had to tell them to go and share the Savior. It literally was out of the overflow of an encounter with Jesus that they had. It was natural to them, and they could not but help relay the word of this baby being born to save humanity. Once they caught a glimpse of Jesus, they were transformed. And so they went out and told everybody who would listen all the way home and to their community. Just recently, I was in our life group leaders training course. And the things that are going on in the area of training and development and discipleship and encountering God in this church are like nothing I've ever seen. It was close to 30 new life group leaders being trained because we have such volumes of new people coming in that we need places for them to belong, and we need to train the leaders to deal with it in a really amazing way. We've got an amazing group of people that are being equipped for that. But I asked the group, who influenced you the most, or who are some of the people that influenced you the most in your walk with Jesus? And Jeff Smith shared that there was a man in his world when Jeff had just come to Jesus, and he described himself as very flaky. He could have fallen away at any time. And this man, who evidently had had an encounter with Jesus, took Jeff under his wing, taught him how to read the word of God, taught him how to hear the voice of God, taught him how to pray, taught him how to encounter God for himself, because this man had had an encounter with Jesus Christ, and he was going to let the overflow impact Jeff's life. And here we have Jeff, who has just got like literally life after life that he is impacting and mentoring. Beautiful Adrienne Emsworth up there, smiling away as she always does, shared about how Martin and Kate Maloney, who used to come to this church, and they're interstate, and Kate's actually with the Lord now, literally encountered Jesus Christ. And Adrienne, who loved Jesus but didn't know much about the gospel, just sat with them night after night because they literally, in her words, they overflowed Jesus. They had encountered the power of God and they overflowed Jesus. And then finally, our amazing youth, literally story after story of changed lives, so much so that we are being recognized in our community that we raise resilient, life, world-changing youth. Literally week after week, they bring their friends from school. Yes, it's fun. Yes, it's an amazing place to be, but largely because their lives have been changed by an encounter with God. Oh, I'll never forget. It has marked my life in the most incredible way. My mum knew about Jesus all her life. She grew up in a home that was Catholic with a Polish father, very devout. I've got the little photo at home of First Holy Communion, and I thank God for that heritage of valuing God, valuing the church, good teaching. But she didn't know Jesus until someone in the Catholic church, when Mum was in her early to mid-20s with three little kids, introduced her to an encounter with Jesus Christ in salvation, and very shortly after helped her experience the power of the Holy Spirit. And can I just say, out of that life-changing encounter, my mum had a total passion to preach the word of God to other people, to actually share Jesus with whomever would listen. Sometimes I was so embarrassed, but on planes and so forth, whoever would listen. So I'm telling you, so many people found their way into church, and Frances is nodding because she knew my mum. So many people found their way into church because she had an encounter with Jesus and she wanted the world to know what they could have. So many people in cafes, in pet shops, in hospitals, wherever she went, she would share the gospel and lead people to Jesus. But it all came out of an encounter. So much so that when she passed away, I went one morning to clean up her unit and deal with her earthly affairs and tidy up her life as it was at that time. And there was this lady sitting on her garden porch who saw that she hadn't been around for a while. And you know what? I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, your mum's been sharing the gospel with this lady. This lady is coming because your mum is giving her daily bread at her doorstep. She's sharing Jesus with this woman. It literally out of the overflow of your life. Can I say this morning, church, let the Holy Spirit remind you, take you back to that time where you encountered him at first love, where you encountered him at salvation, where your life was off track and you encountered Jesus Christ for the first time. Let him remind you of how you encountered him afresh in 2018 at conference, how you sensed his presence, how real it was. Let him remind you of how he touched your life yesterday, and there was hope that you may not have had in your heart even during a difficult time because Jesus Christ was in it. Can I encourage you, allow him to remind you this morning of just how good he is, because out of that overflow, you'll touch the lives of other people with the message of Jesus. You know, Paul said, love compels me. Love compels me. You know, Mary, it caused her later in that chapter we read last week to sing out in praise. It was an overflow of an encounter with heaven itself. David, the encounter with God caused him to dance like a reckless man, like no one cared or no one was watching, because he encountered the power of God. Do you know, he has encountered you. And it can spill over today. It's not too late. It can spill over today in a generous invitation to the lost. I really believe that even as I'm speaking, God is laying people on your heart. And I just want to be the nudge of the Holy Spirit today and say to you, don't hold back. It's not too late. There is room, as Karen said, and people need to encounter the saving power of God the same way you did. And I'm telling you, Carol's is the best opportunity. It is the most amazing opportunity we'll have this year. Secondly, the shepherd's story, this story of these unlikely, common, smelly characters who became the first people to carry an invitation to the gospel. But it shows us to invite where we are. Invite right where you are. Invite right where you are. And you're sitting in a seat today. It's the perfect place to invite. People respond to texts. I love discussing destiny with people. It's one of my favorite topics. And every single year as HSC students are thinking about their future, I have those conversations and I find out what are you believing to go into? What are your passions? What are your gifts? What has God put in your world? And I love it. It's one of my favorite things. I love hearing people's stories, their achievements, their passions. I love when Stephen Holt in our congregation talks to me about science at ANSTO. I'm not a very sciencey person, but I love hearing his passion for it and what he's doing in that field. I love hearing about Jasmine, our resident pediatrician here, and just her amazing work that God is using her in at the Children's Hospital. I absolutely love hearing about Nat and her passion to start up an international school in Rotti and serve the community in educating their children. I absolutely love hearing these stories. Hannah Wood starting her career in law, and Carl Weitz just having divine favor on him in the workplace. It is amazing. But mainly, other than being an indicator of the diversity that is Horizon Church, because God has brought an incredible array of people into this church, I feel like it's an indicator of where in the world God is working right now. So when I hear that someone is passionate about the arts or modeling or media or writing or science, I'm like, you know what? Great. Because God is bringing kingdom influence into that sphere. I'm like, awesome, you go for it, girl. You go for it, guy, because that is exactly where God is wanting to extend the kingdom. That's exactly, you know, robotics, whatever it is. I don't care how obscure it sounds to you. God has a purpose with it because that's how the kingdom of God extends. When the shepherds encountered heaven, for they had literally a collision course with heaven that day, they weren't in the temple, although that was an awesome place to pursue the things of God. They were not in prayer as far as we can tell. They weren't meeting with a pastor, although that's pretty amazing as well. They were not doing anything in particular that was conducive to an encounter with God. They literally were found in the field. And they returned to the field. That's it. They were found in the field of their vocation and their community, and they were returned to their vocation and their community. They didn't give up their jobs or their families to go and be missionaries in other parts of the world, as far as we can tell from this record in Scripture. They just went back to their normal lives of raising a family, of shepherding their sheep. But the difference was they were changed men. They were men who had an encounter with Almighty God, and they were forever changed, and they were filled with praises to God. In this passage, let's have a look at verse 17. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the good things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So there was praise and there was an invitation that went out to every human being. You know, can I just say, from my observations of walking with Jesus and seeing many, many people come to know him, Jesus rarely takes people out of their sphere of influence when they come to know him. It's rare. It does happen. I'm never going to say never, because some, like Paul, are literally plucked out of an occupation and thrust into a new one. It does happen. And sometimes later in someone's walk, God changes their vocation and develops their call. But the typical experience is God takes us out of something, encounters us, and puts us back in there to be an influence for the kingdom in that place. You know, if every single believer understood that where they are right now, whether they are a mum with a community of mothers around them, whether they are working in a trade, whether they are at university or school, whether they are in corporate, whether you are in governance, whether you are in finance, if every believer understood that they have been planted there for a kingdom purpose, can you imagine the global transformation that would happen? Do you know, even Jesus described the coming of his kingdom not as a military takeover, but literally as a gentle, effective, constant changing and transformation of the world. You know, he uses analogies like yeast in dough, seeds left to germinate. They are images that are exceedingly powerful, but they're not military and they're not obvious. They're about literally day by day influence, invitation, living our lives out loud. You are the greatest witness that your sphere of influence will ever know. Last night when the storm broke out, there was a massive clap of thunder around 8 o'clock, and our youngest child woke up very, very upset, very scared, and I went in, gave him a cuddle, settled him, and then he says to me, "I want daddy." And I'm like, "But you've got mummy." He's like, "No, I want daddy." And Andrew comes in and he says, "Give him to me. We've been through a few storms together." And it's true. Andrew's comforted him through. Can I just say, your workmates, give him a hand. He's the favorite. What can I say? seriously, your workmates, your family, your close friends, they've been through a few storms with you. They don't know me. They don't know Pastor Ali. They don't know others. Our sphere of influence knows us, but your workmates know you and trust you. They'll receive an invitation from you. They know you. When they get that text in about 10 minutes, they're going to go, you know what? I trust that person. This sounds great. They've got good taste. They'd never invite me to something that was terrible. They'll trust you. Can I encourage you? Use that trust. Christmas is such an opportunity for you to invite your sphere of influence to hear something of the message, the true message of Christmas that will change their lives. And then finally, thank you, keyboardist. Finally, you know, you invite with the power of God. And I cannot underscore this enough. The power of God is at work in this church. The shepherds were the first ones to declare the good news of Jesus. It says in verse 18, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. And with that, the power of God, all who heard it were amazed, right? But what baffles me, right, is that they were just shepherds. They're just shepherds. That's all. Probably not articulate. Probably not educated people, probably not charismatic and engaging and persuasive, just shepherds. That's it, just shepherds. But the message is anointed. The bearer of the message is anointed as we share the message of Jesus. Do you know, like, so often we get caught up in ourselves. You know, I think to myself, gosh, I am a busy working mum. I'm tired. It's the end of the year. Losing the plot. How can I bring an invitation in this state? And it's like the Holy Spirit just nudges me and goes, since when was it ever about you anyway? On one level it is. You have to go. He doesn't send it in the ether. The invitation comes in a package that looks like you, and that's pretty good. But the anointing rests on the message as the bearer brings it. The anointing and the power of God is on the message itself. You know, there is nothing in church life, I feel, that causes the Spirit of God to rush to a message like the message of Jesus. Nothing. Do you know, we are in a church that cherishes the presence of God. We cherish it. We always will. It's part of our DNA. And in worship, we lean into the presence of God. And I love it. It transforms my life. I encounter Him in His presence as I glorify His name. I absolutely love it when His presence is on the Word and it brings revelation. And the Word will always be preached from this platform in its entirety, in integrity, because we hold that it is literally spirit and life. You know, when the gifts are in operation, I love it when the prophetic words are flowing, when words of knowledge are happening. And, you know, that a gift given for the equipping of the church. But there's nothing that I sense the presence of God around like when people are issued an invitation to follow Jesus. You just sense the Holy Spirit flocking to it. And He can't help but enliven it. And you need to trust that as you issue an invitation, God is at work. You, like Karen talked about our friend, you know, I just wouldn't be surprised if someone was praying for him. Just wouldn't be surprised. And if you're here today, you can feel real valued and loved, that God would single you out and just let you know that you're super valued in this place. Do you know, I've never sensed His presence like when I'm sharing the message of Jesus. I remember on a train between Krakow, Poland and Vienna in Austria. And if you've heard this story before, let it just be fresh to you. But I remember it was a very down time in my life. I just lost my mum. I was probably a bit depressed. I was travelling alone, probably not a great idea if you're in that state, but I was having a great time nonetheless. And I caught a train between Krakow and Vienna, and I was in a sleeper carriage. It was an overnight train, and there was a girl. She was an academic, probably in her mid-20s, and she'd just completed a PhD, and she was travelling to Vienna to present a paper. And I felt the nudge of the Holy Spirit. Would you share an invitation with her? You may never see this girl again. You may never know the impact of this on her life, but I'm telling you now, she's open. She's ready. And so literally on that night train, I'm sharing Jesus. I'm asking her questions about her life. I'm sharing my testimony. And I have never felt a carriage or a space fill up with the presence of God like that, because Jesus was being spoken about, and the Holy Spirit loves people. And he was flocking to that moment for that girl, and he was moving heaven and earth. You know, not even, she was in en route to a place. She wasn't even stationary, and God would move heaven and earth to put someone, one of his people, in that carriage just for that girl. And before we went to sleep on those bunk beds that night, she gave her life to Jesus. And it was my total privilege to contact, I didn't even know the pastor of the church, but I found a really great spirit-filled church in Krakow, Poland, and contacted a lady called Magda and said, would you, don't you think God loves the lost? And that woman followed her up, and I don't know what's come of her life. I don't know what's come of her life. But would we let another Christmas go and not invite people to hear about Jesus? Would we let another year pass when there's so much possibility? And can I just say, it's okay. I'm inadequate too. My invitations are sometimes clumsy. But I trust that the power of God would hover over that invitation, would hover over that text message, would hover over that phone call. And you may feel clumsy. You may feel like I've invited them 100 times, but I'm telling you, eternity is a long time. I think, you know, I sat, sounds macabre, the cemetery, it's really actually quite green and beautiful, near my mum's plaque. It's not, she's not there, but it's just a peaceful place. And I'm thinking, God, thank God she had a vision of eternity, because she's gone now. But literally every soul in every cafe, hospital, pet shop, street walk that she led to Jesus is her fruit. Imagine this Christmas if your neighbours, daycare workers, friends, family, if you would believe again, if you would believe again for the invitation. Can I ask you to stand with me? I just really feel like this is a holy moment. It's a holy moment. Would you just bow your head and just allow the Holy Spirit to impress upon you. Holy Spirit, you have been moving, I just know, in this church today that loves you, that loves your presence, that honors Jesus. Would you just impress upon them, God, to believe again? Show them the names, God. Give them courage. Give them great joy. Lord, where people feel inadequate, would you just give them, Lord, the boldness of the Holy Ghost to invite? And Lord, we just pray that tonight there would be a mighty, mighty miracle, that people would be impacted, God. Their hearts would be softened, Jesus. We just thank you, God, for an anointing on tonight, God. We trust you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I've been sharing about Jesus. He loves you. And as I've been talking about sharing the message of Jesus with people like you, you're like, I don't know him. I don't know him. Do you know that knowing him is a prayer away? It's the most releasing and liberating thing to know that all he requires you to do in order to be in right relationship with him, to have your sins and your past washed away, for you to be made clean, for the weight that's been on your heart and your shoulders and your mind to be lifted from you today, and for you to be that missing piece, that life that has felt out of alignment in an area, just to be popped into alignment with your Creator. All it takes is a prayer. That's literally all it is. It's not good works. And so what we're going to do as a church is pray that prayer together. And we're going to pray it strong. And I want to assure you that God sees every heart in this room. You may be in a group today, but he sees every heart in this room. Let's pray this together. God will know that you're praying it from your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you that you came. Thank you that you have given your life so that mine can be restored. I give you my life. I believe in you. I declare you're Lord. Wash away my sins. Make me new. with every head bowed and every eye closed, I just thank you, Lord, that some today have become a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come, and they have come into what we would call salvation. They have come to know you, and thank you that they'll never be alone. And with every head bowed and every eye closed in this room, to give people that moment of privacy in a crowd, if that's you today, in this holy moment, would you just let me know, yes, this Christmas, I prayed that prayer for the first time. Or perhaps you've been away from God this year and you do not want to go into 2019 without a right relationship with Jesus Christ. Would you quickly slip your hand up? I'll see it, and one or two other trusted leaders will. Would you quickly slip your hand up and say yes to Jesus today? He loves you. The Holy Spirit has literally laid this on your heart just to see you come into right relationship with Him today. Is there anyone today and you're like, yes, that is me. That is me. That is me. Beautiful. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to sing literally just one, I Can't Get Enough, right? And as we do that, I just ask you to open your heart to be reminded of the encounter you've had with God, and that He would empower you to share the message of Jesus Christ this Christmas. Why don't we sing as we come into the closing part of our service?
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at horizonchurchsydney.com. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.